It is time to get our view from the north. You can find his work for Comcast Sportsnet on the tube, channel 737 in my Xfinity system in high def. Go to the website, csnnw.com. The Facebook page, facebook.com/AaronFentress CSN. Twitter, at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. I believe that it's important to admit error or to be willing to change one's mind. When I heard Steve Kerr was Coach of the Year, I was like, well, you know, his system, and he still had some input. And then over the last 24 hours, as it's played out, I'm like, I'm very confused, and I'm not sure I was initially right. What do you make of how this whole vote played out? I guess we lose Mr. Fentress?
Sorry, I'm here.
What happened? You bug out on me?
Have no idea.
Was your name called by Roger Goodell? Are you drafted? Are you with
me? No, I put you on mute because I was coughing and I forgot to take you off mute.
Well, I know a bunch of people who are like, can we have one of those Tannen mute buttons?
I can hear you, but you couldn't hear me. Anyway. Do you remember the opening scene of Batman The Dark Knight when the Joker's gang, they robbed the bank, and each way along the way, one gang member kills another to reduce the shares, and then at the end, it's just one guy, and Joker kills the guy?
Yep.
Remember that?
Yep.
Okay. There were not as many felonies committed in that opening scene as there were during the voting for Coach of the Year. That's how much Terry Stotts got robbed. So here's my point-by-point bullet on this. Because Dwight James thinks they got it right. He said last night on Talking Ball that it's not just about the games, it's about practice. So my argument against that is that, so you're basically saying with this vote that game day coaching, being on the bench, has been reduced to next to nothing because the guy missed more than half the game. That's one. Two, the team had a better record when he wasn't there. Three, they won the championship the year before and had a transcendent season by their best player, thus making coaching, air quotes, easier. That's three. Four, if an NBA player, any player in any sport, had missed 50% of the season and the team was 900 without that person, would that player ever get MVP?
No.
Hell no.
No.
Okay? Then you have to ask yourself, how many blowouts did they have? And how? And so if you're blowing teams out and Curry's shooting three-pointers from the parking lot, how much actual in-game tweaking and coaching are you doing to try to manage wins? Not much. I would argue that Stotts had to do more in-game tweaking and coaching to get more victories than Kerr ever had to do, especially considering the fact he only coached half the season. So for me, it's just an absolutely ridiculous choice. I mean, I don't see how you even pick Kerr because he wasn't even there. Now, they did have the best record of all time, and that means something. Had Kerr coached all season or just missed five or six games, then great. Give it to him. Okay. But you cannot have someone miss half the season, more than half the season, and be named the best at what he does. It just doesn't make any sense. Stotts got robbed. Last point, the Blazers were picked to win 26 games.
Yep.
They won 40-something. It was a miracle. With a bunch of guys, like no one, were cast-offs and marginal bench guys and a couple lottery picks that hadn't played much for them, and Lillard, and that's it. And they made the playoffs. It's one of the most amazing coaching jobs I've ever seen.
No, and I'm telling you, a bunch of my callers, texters, what I've read, I actually took a deep breath last night and I was like, all right, I was wrong. Should have been Stotts. Simple as that. Sometimes it's not rocket science. So let's get back to Saturday. The Blazers are about to tip off down 2-0, and there's probably some people thinking, are they going to win a game? Then by Monday night, all of a sudden, it's like they're a lock to advance to the next round. Have you ever seen a turn of events like we just witnessed?
You know, I remember when Magic Johnson hurt his hamstring in the first game of Game 1 of the 89 finals.
Against Detroit.
Against Detroit.
Yeah.
And then, of course, last year we saw Kyrie Irving got hurt in the East Finals. Love it got hurt before that. But I can't recall a time when the number one and number two players on a team both got injured during a series. Like, that's – I can't even think of that of when that ever happened. And I've been following this stuff for a long time. I've been trying to rack my brain. You know, did Kerr and Stark – I'm not Kerr. Did Ewing and Starks ever get hurt? No. Olajuwon Drexler? No. Malone Stockton? No. Barkley Marley or Kevin Johnson? No. Jordan Pippen? No. Like, I can't think of anything. Mikael Bird? No. So, yeah, it's crazy luck for the Blazers. And last night at Talking Ball, we were going through, you know, who's your MVP of the series so far? And Isaac Rock picked McCollum, and Orlando Williams picked Plumlee. And I said, McCollum's third, Plumlee's two. And number one is the shorts of Henderson for breaking Paul's hand. That's your MVP. I mean, let's be real here. This is not a series Portland probably would win. I mean, they look like they're going to win game two before Paul got hurt. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But can they win on the road against Paul and Blake Griffin? They lost by 20 twice down there. You know, that obviously the Blazers have gotten a huge stroke of luck. And Curry, what if Curry misses half of the next series? Can they steal a couple games in that one? We'll see.
That's what I was going to ask, because I know they're talking about next week Curry's going to try and do some on-court stuff. But right. There was a late-night interview with one of the orthopedic surgeons on CBS Sports National, and they're like, this guy can't play for at least two full weeks.
Right.
I mean, let's say he doesn't play the series. Are we in a case of dare they think about winning the series?
I still say no, because with Curry, it's 4-0-4-1 at best. I mean, Blazers, any team can get hot and just take a game. And Blazers blew out the Warriors a couple months ago. So I would say 4-0-4-1, and that two or three of those wins would be routes. So you take Curry out of the equation, so you have to figure, okay, what exactly are you taking off the court that they would have needed to win those games? And I would say they wouldn't need 35 from him, that they could win those games with him going 20-7. And so can you spread those points around to other people, giving other people more shots? And Livingston's a pretty darn good backup point guard. And you've got other talent. You've got Clay. You've got
Draymond
Green.
Barnes,
you got Harrison Barnes. Exactly. So it's not like they're devoid of – it's not as big of a drop-off in talent as going from Paul leaving the Clippers. Now, Paul Blake, that's another story. But, yeah, I still think the Warriors win that story and win that series. And they play such – a good brand of basketball, which is a credit to Kerr and the coaching staff. I mean, they play smart. They share the ball. You know, we saw last night with the Clippers, and I talked about this before the game. I said, you know, Jamal Crawford can come out and just light it up like he's in the playground and beat you. Or, more than likely, he's going to come out and shoot his team out of the game. And they played unsmart basketball. I mean, how many times he kept going one-on-one and jacking up a shot. He was 6-for-23. The rest of the team shot 47%. If he'd given up the ball and become a playmaker, they would have had a chance to maybe win that game. Well, Golden State would never let one player do that unless it were Steph Curry, if he would make his shots. And so they're not going to fall into that trap of someone trying to take over and carry the team. They're just going to play team basketball and beat you, and I still think that would be enough to beat the Blazers in the series.
Right.
And keep in mind, I'm still amazed the Blazers are even in the playoffs.
I know you
if
are.
If we rewound the season, I would bet they would not make the playoffs. I still look at this team and I go, how in the hell is this team in the playoffs? It's a miracle.
No, I remember.
I should be coach of the year.
We went back to October, and we were like, how? This team, they lost 80%. Yeah, we've been there, done that. I want to get to what really matters in about 45 minutes. The draft starts in about an hour and 45. The Bears are on the clock. So if they're not sold on Jeremy Langford, do they go with Elliott? If the Giants don't take him, do they go O-line with Langford, former teammate Conklin? Do they go with a pass rusher? So if Ryan Pace, who's the youngest GM in the league, calls you for draft advice, what guidance would you provide him?
His philosophy is best player available regardless of position and need, which I like that in the first round, because you don't want to pass on a star just because you think it's redundant when you could be a star. I mean, do you want to pass on Hall of Famer because you already have depth of that position? No, you get that Hall of Famer and you trade someone else or do someone else, do something else with your roster. So given that, I think the needs thing is thrown out the window, and I think they're going to take the best player available. I think definitely if Elliott's there at 11, I think you might take him, but they claim they like Langford. They liked him enough to let Forte go. And Fox has been running back by committee for most of his life. I mean, I can't remember last time he had a full-on number one marquee running back. So I could definitely see them just using Kadeem Carey and Langford and going for, you know, offensive line with Conklin or a defensive line or a linebacker or whatever the best guy is. So, you know, I just I have no name for you, just as long as they pick someone who doesn't suck.
All right, well, I don't think Cutler's available in this draft, so let's
I'm waiting out Cutler. I still don't think they're – well, Kevin White comes back, maybe they can win next year, but I just – until Cutler proves to me he cannot shoot him in the foot, then I'm just sort of waiting him out.
All right, let's get to the spring game. Of course, a quarterback under center will be a guy who's never played at this level. Do you buy that Travis Johnson's pushing Prukop, or do we live and learn that a grad transfer isn't here to provide a tutorial? What do you make of this supposed three-way battle to replace Vernon Adams?
I think it's a lot like last year. Maybe it's tighter. It's tighter than Vernon Lockie. I mean, I think Johnson's better than Lockie, and I don't think Prukop's better than or as good as Vernon, so therefore it's a little tighter than
okay.
that. But I don't think you go out and talk a transfer and come into you unless you're basically telling that guy, look, if you just come and be you, you're going to be the guy. So in order for Travis Johnson to close that gap, given the fact that he didn't do much last year as a redshirt and injuring his toe, he would have to just have improved leaps and bounds, not just in his physical ability, but in his mental command of the offense and command of a game. I mean, Dakota Prukop has started college football games. Like, he's been in virtually every situation you could possibly be in. He has that experience and that savvy and that background. That's something that Travis Johnson has none of, like zero. Now, you can get some of that in practice here and there, of course, and, you know, some people are savants like Mariota where it just doesn't matter. You know, throw me in the middle of the Super Bowl and fourth quarter, get on the line, I'll take it. You know, he was just that type of mental genius in terms of football. But, you know, that part of it right there, there's no way Travis Johnson is going to make that up. So even if he were to equal him physically, you still would go with Dakota Prukop because he's the more, you know, savvy, mentally prepared player of the two. That all said, I just don't buy that Travis has closed the gap even physically. I'm sure he has some physical gifts, but I you know, again, we can't see it, but I refuse to buy that he's as efficient and
polished.
Polished, there you go, as Prukop. And so I think it's Prukop's job, but I think they're doing the right thing. I mean, you never want to tell someone, oh, yeah, you're guaranteed. You want them to work. You want them to feel the heat. You want them to see the other talent around them and know that they got to, you know, work as hard as they can to keep the job. And Dakota seems like he's that kind of kid. And just like Vernon came in with the same mentality that I've got to do my job to keep and get this job. But I just don't buy for a second that anyone on Oregon thinks that the opening day starter could be Travis Johnson.
All right. The final thought as we continue with Aaron Fencher's Comcast Sports Net. We had Tyrell Crosby on yesterday. Looks like he's etched in stone now at left tackle. I'm assuming Cam Hunt is a starting guard. Well, that leaves three plus the rotation. I know you wrote about this. Any reason for concern this group might need some time to come together? Or is there enough experience and talent and a really strong coach in Greatwood to think that they'll probably be okay, if not really good?
Well, last year they did a great job recovering from losing Hronis and Fisher.
Fisher, right.
And they didn't necessarily have a knock-your-socks-off wow star on the offensive line last year, but they played so well together as a group. I mean, they were seamless. There was no injury problems, which was always good, and then they just seemed to just perform well. They gave Vernon Adams time. Freeman rushed for 1,800 yards. That's just never really an issue until the whole snapping thing in the bowl. But, you know, this time they lost three. They lost three seniors, and they're going to move at least one guy around. So you're looking at four, maybe five players starting – all five positions having a new starter, although two of them will be returning starters. Now, Hunt could stay at guard if Throckmorton develops into a starting right tackle and or if this kid, Zach Morgan, coming in from Dayton, who started 20-plus games for them at on both ends of the offensive line, both tackle spots, you know, he could come in and start at right tackle, which I think is probably ideal for them because they can keep Hunt at guard, which is something they kind of want to do because Lubick said that he thinks Hunt's a better guard than he's a tackle, although Hunt said, I played tackle all my life until – I like when guys say all my life. Like, they're, like, in college.
21 years old.
My life. Okay, so from age 8 to 16, you did that. Okay, that's all your life. But, you know, it's a fact. It's just funny when they say that. Anyway, so I think with Morgan coming in, you know you have three, maybe four counting Hunt, good quality tackles ranging age from senior on down to a redshirt freshman. And you got a bunch. You got Pašarčík still. You got Brenner still. If Lemieux is coming around like they say he is, and if Hanson's going to be legit center, and they got Okun still. I mean, you got a lot of you got like 8, 9, 10 guys that it sounds like they believe in. You know, and that's a great place to be in because of those 8 to 10, you figure you're going to find a group of five that are going to work well together. So I think that's not going to be a position of concern this fall.
Well, by the way, real quick, my retort for college guys who talk about their whole career or their whole life, I'm like, dude, I've got concert T-shirts older than you. catch what this guy does online. CSNNW.com on Twitter at Aaron J. Fentress. Always fun having you on, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
Are you going to be there Saturday?
Actually, I'm not sure. We're doing a pregame, and then we have to do the show from the cooler at halftime. So I may just hang there and watch the game on TV.
There you go. Good for you.
All right. Travel safe back and forth, Aaron. We'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye. Take it easy.